morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody today?
Blessed.
Are y'all tired? We've had two full days, so. Can I just see a raise of hand of how many of you are nurses or actually medical professionals? Great, great. This is awesome. And then advocates or volunteer? Okay, awesome. That's great. So as she said, I am Valerie Long. I'm a nurse with the My Life Health Clinic. We are in Park Hills, Missouri. The pregnancy resource name is Parkland Pregnancy Resource Center. We have our medical separate from the Pregnancy Resource Center. And just to give you a little bit of my background, I have my bachelor's in nursing. I am the nurse manager at the clinic. I've been there for about 4.5 years. And when I started, we have the advocate, and we did the visits with the advocate in the nurse role. And in 2018, we switched to a medical-focused visit where now the nurse does the entire visit from start to finish. And during that transition, it was a struggle for us in that to lead into that spiritual conversation and sharing the gospel. I really struggled with that portion. It just seemed like it was awkward. I didn't really have the words to say. I felt nervous. And my executive director and I, we've had many discussions about, you know, brainstorming. How can we do this? How can we make this work? And at one point she even mentioned, well, maybe we need to eliminate this portion of the visit. And I knew in my heart that that was not the answer. We needed to keep searching. And so 2018, the summer of 2018, I had gone on a conference in Little Rock, Arkansas for our denominational annual conference. And something that they had done was an outreach to the community. They were giving out homeless bags to the homeless, so essential care items to the homeless. And we would also have the opportunity to talk to them and share the gospel if they were receptive. And I came across Michael, and he shared his story with me. He was hurt and he was broken, and he was receptive to the gospel, and he received Jesus as his Savior that day.
Hallelujah.
And I got home after that experience, and I was under conviction, and I really felt the Lord saying to me, Valerie, you are bold and courageous to be witnessing on the streets of Little Rock, Arkansas to the homeless. What are you doing at home? So I quickly began gathering up supplies for my homeless bags, and in my bags I knew I wanted to have Bibles and a gospel tract, and that's what eventually led to me finding the path that has worked really well for our center with sharing the gospel. You guys will notice in front of you, it's not folded up, but you have one of these. So in my search, I found it was a free downloadable printable from Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and I loved it. It's very simple, and it was free. It was, you know, printable. So this is what I landed on, and I took it to my executive director, and I asked her, I said, can we use these during the spiritual conversation if they are receptive to the gospel? And she's like, yeah, sure, go for it. So within a week or two, we had our first patient receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior and accepted Christ. And that very day, the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, Valerie, it's not one life. It's two. It's not just the baby's physical life, but it's the mother's eternal life and generations from there. And that really shifted the way I saw the visits. Because before, obviously, you know, we are pro-life, and that ultrasound room was my favorite, where we get to introduce the mom to her baby for the very first time. And since that day, honestly, I can say it's the consultation room is the favorite room for me now, because that's where we get to introduce her to Christ and hope of eternity someday. And so, all of that to say, I'm just going to share with you guys kind of what we've come up with, what has worked for us, and give you guys some resources and some tools that will help you. I'm not qualified. I'm not a professional speaker, so I'm going to get stumbled along my words. I might get distracted and lose my train of thought. But I just hope you hear my heart today and that you come away empowered and equipped to be able to share the gospel with your clients confidently. There was several months ago, my pastor had a sermon on how can we equip the saints to help mend the hurting and the lost and the broken. And I went to the altar that day because I thought, we are doing something at the center that has been very effective. Since that day, that August 1st of 2018, we've had over 44 salvations on our clinic and Pregnancy Resource Center. And that is not me. That's nothing that we're doing. That's only by the Holy Spirit. And so I was under conviction that day that I need to help equip you guys to be able to go out and take this to your centers and so that you're empowered and you have the tools and the resources to do that. That was on a Sunday. That was his sermon on a Sunday. Guess what? Monday morning, I go in, I open up my emails, and I have an email from Marsha Middleton asking for proposals for the Alliance for Life to be a speaker. And so I was like, oh, Lord, I can't do that. And he's like, yes, you can. And so just bear with me today. As I said, I'm not a professional speaker, but I just hope you can just know my heart and that we can equip you so that you can be effective where you're at. And I can't talk about sharing the gospel without first talking about the Great Commission. And this is what Jesus said to his followers and to his disciples before he ascended up into heaven. And he said to them, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16:15-16. And we're commanded. We are commanded to go out and share the gospel. We have a very unique opportunity in our clinics and in our centers because most of the women that come to us, they're hurting and they're lost and they're broken and they're seeking. And we can help give them some peace in the middle of their storm by sharing Christ with them. These are the learning objectives that we're going to hit on today. We're going to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. We can't do any of this without the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the role of prayer before, during, and after the visit. How to transition from that medical portion of the visit into that spiritual conversation. Learning how to ask further questions if you have a patient that states that they're a Christian. Learning what tools are available to assist you when presenting the gospel. Learning how to respond if they decline the spiritual conversation or if they decline receiving Christ as their Savior that day. And then also learning how to equip the new believers with their next steps. So the first objective, the role of the Holy Spirit when presenting the gospel. And we can't talk about the Holy Spirit without first talking about his power. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I just want to say that it's not by our own power, it's not by our own intelligence, our own systems or techniques. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to be effective witnesses during the medical visits. And he gives us that power. And then help in weakness. Mark 13:11 says, don't worry beforehand about what you will say. Just say whatever is given to you at that time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you guys that, you know, there may be some very difficult conversations that you're having with your patients. And we don't have to worry about what we should say. You know, if we're connected with the Spirit and through prayer and, you know, really allowing him to lead us in that conversation, he'll give us the words to say. Mm-hmm. There's been so many times when I'm in the middle of that difficult conversation and silently praying, Lord, I have no idea. I need help. I need you to give me the words. and a scripture will come to mind, or a word for her will come to mind. And it's a beautiful thing to see that happen. And knowing that it truly isn't us doing it, it's really the Spirit doing it through us. And, you know, there's so many days that I just feel weak and I stumble along my words. You know, I may not have the right words, but even in spite of my weaknesses, He still can use that, and His power comes through in the end. So. And then the Holy Spirit allows us to speak the word of God boldly. 2 Timothy 1:7 through 8 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." And that spirit of fear, where does that come from? Satan. God did not give us that spirit. And oftentimes Satan will use the spirit of fear to keep us from sharing Christ with others. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what to say. Who are you? Who do you think you are? And rebuke Satan. That is nothing but the devil and trying to discourage you. And we can be bold. We can have the power and love and self-control. The other version says a sound mind. And I love that. I really love this verse because it's not just power. What else is it?
Love.
Love. And so in our line of work, we love our clients regardless of where they're at. And I think that's critical. They need to know that regardless of their life choices, regardless of their decision to carry or to abort, regardless if they're homosexual or transgender, I mean, we see it all. Promiscuity, you know, regardless of where they're at, they're going to feel that sense of love. And it's not the love of us, it's the love of Christ coming through us to that patient. And that's what really speaks to them, and that's what helps build that rapport where they're open to hear the gospel. And the objective number two, the role of prayer before, during, and after the visit. How many of you guys regularly pray? I know a lot of centers will meet in the morning and have prayer, but even individually praying before the visit, or even as the visit's taking place, how many of you guys actually take the time? Yes, a lot of you guys do. And I encourage you to do that. That is so important. We're gonna talk about that. The role of prayer, you know, there's power. There's so much power in the prayers. Even though we may not see, there is power in that. And Jesus set the example for us by praying often. And so what does prayer do for us when we're in the middle of a visit or before the visit? It turns it over from our hands into the Lord's hands and allows Him to work through us. Again, allows that spirit to begin working in their lives and hearts. So it opens up the spirit to begin working directly in their life and preparing their hearts for that conversation. It brings the power of the Holy Spirit to work, brings us into fellowship with Him. And so if we are connected to the Lord in prayer, you know, through prayer and Bible study, when we're more connected, when we're closely connected with Him, the Holy Spirit can easily flow through us. And so just keeping your quiet time, you know, making sure you're staying up on that, keep your armor on, it's very important. I do have a client story. I had a patient who came in for some STD testing. I'm going to walk around a little bit for this one. She came in for some STD testing, and she was so receptive to the gospel, which is easy. It was probably one of the easiest presentations I've ever given. And she said, after she prayed the prayer of salvation, she said, "It's like a breath of fresh air. You helped me in more ways than I even knew I needed." And then she said, "You remind me of my neighbor. She was all the time talking to my sister and I about God and inviting us to church. And she passed away a couple months ago." Now, she did not mention that the neighbor had been praying for her. But you all know, if you're talking to somebody about God and you're inviting them to church, you know in your heart you're praying for them. So I have no doubt that this neighbor had been praying over these girls for, and I don't know for how long, but they had a close relationship. And so fast forward a week, and her sister comes in for STD testing. And she, too, was very eager to hear the gospel. And I'm going to share the rest of her story a little bit later. But she got saved, and she said, she mentioned this neighbor as well. And she said, I want to be baptized in my neighbor's church. And she shared why. And it was just, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful story of how God had worked. Even though that neighbor had already passed on, she never knew the fruits of her prayers. But those girls were ready. They were so ready. And it just, it's such a blessing to see how God can work, even though we may not see it. So even if we've shared and done our part, we don't know what happens after they leave our clinics, and God can still work in their lives. And so this is just some things that I typically pray. You guys are going to come along with your own prayers. You may already have your own set of prayers, but this is typically the things that I will pray either before the visit or during the visit, that God would give you knowledge and wisdom and guidance of what to say, that the power of the Holy Spirit would fill you with boldness, and the power of the Holy Spirit would work in their life and prepare their hearts for that conversation, that God would open up their ears and their eyes, ears, heart, and mind, soul, and spirit to hear the gospel presentation, and that he would also help them to see the life that is within them, and that they would choose life. And if they accept a Bible, be praying that God would speak directly to their hearts with his word. And I just often ask God, get me out of the way and do it through me, because it's not us that's doing it, it's the Holy Spirit doing it through us. I'm going to say that a lot, y'all. Sorry. The third objective is, how do we transition from the medical portion into that spiritual conversation? One thing I want to make sure I mention here, and I know as nurses, as medical professionals and advocates, I know that we're trained to do this, but really encouraging us just to be active listeners throughout the entire visit. And actively listening, not just for her situation, for that, you know, if she's abortion-minded, but also actively listening for any clues that she may give us along the way about where she stands in her faith. Sometimes those little clues can be used to kind of weave right on into that spiritual conversation. And as one of the things that my executive director shared with me, she said a lot of centers are struggling, especially for the medical professional, going from that medical into the spiritual conversation. And I know I did in the beginning. I remember what a struggle that was. Maybe not even so much for the spiritual conversation, but presenting the gospel. That was the part that I really struggled with the most. Just felt awkward. I wasn't really sure of myself or even how. I knew how to do it, but I didn't feel like I had the right tools, and I didn't feel like I was equipped. But we as medical professionals don't have to fear that, because we're often trained to look at the whole patient, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We are. And so serving her well by assessing all of her needs. So assessing her physical state through the health history, the pregnancy test, the STDs, and the ultrasound, that's her physical. Her emotional, we assess her emotional well-being, her life situation, and what kind of support system she has, and her spiritual well-being. Her spiritual health should not be neglected. It is a critical aspect of her overall health. We have a very unique opportunity to meet her spiritual needs. Serving her well by addressing all areas of her well-being. So when is the best time for the spiritual conversation? I know certain centers have their script. I'll just say that. They have their scripting. We have found that it's best to do it towards the end of the visit, after she's had all other aspects addressed. So we've done all of the physical things with her. We've done her health history. We've done the pregnancy test. We've sent, you know, we're going to do the STD testing. We've talked about STDs. We've done the ultrasound. And then her emotional, talking about those options and, you know, not necessarily resources yet, but talking about the options. That way she can kind of relax when it's time for that spiritual conversation. We've addressed everything else, so she doesn't have anything else on her mind at this point. She's able to focus in on that spiritual conversation. And I do have a client comment on a survey. She said, "I not only found out that I wasn't pregnant, but I found out about God." Mm-hmm. And we do have a lot of feedback that these girls are very appreciative that we've taken the time to share Christ with them and explain it. Even if they choose not to accept Him that day, they're still very appreciative of that conversation. Mm-hmm. So this is how I lead in. So after we've done everything else, this is typically, so if your patient is abortion determined or minded and you're going over the options information, I will typically lead in after the options information. If they're not, if their shoes continue to carry and we're not going over that information, typically I will do it after the ultrasound. But again, it's towards the very end of the visit. And this is how I lead in, that we are a holistic clinic and we address all aspects of your health, meaning we assess your physical health, your emotional support, and your spiritual well-being. Let's talk a little bit how you're doing spiritually right now. And right there, you just ease right on in. And so from there, we use eKairos at our clinic. How many use eKairos? A lot. Okay. Anybody use anything different? Because everybody raised their hand, it looked like. Way cool. Way cool. Okay. And I'm not really sure what kind of spiritual questions they have on theirs, but it may be similar. But just kind of take this information. And okay, so on eKairos, we do mobile intake. Does anybody else use the mobile intake? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. We use it too, and I love it. I will say, in the beginning, we had these first three questions that says, what is your current relationship with God? Are you a Christian? Have you been baptized? We had those on the mobile intake as an option for them to answer. They didn't have to answer to move forward. But we were getting people not showing up to the visit. And then I had a phone call one day, and she's like, "Why are these questions on there? I'm not going to answer that, you know." And so it was a clue into me, I need to get those off. So we've taken them off of the mobile intake. Those questions are not on there. We did leave on, "What is your religion?" Mm-hmm. Because a lot of our physicians in the area, you know, on their intakes, they still have that. That's still appropriate to ask. And so we left that, and that does give us a little bit of information going into that visit on, does she claim to be a Christian? Does she have any religion? What we see the most, and we live in the Bible Belt, so we do see a lot of them that say they're Christians, but maybe their grandparents were Christians, so they say they're Christian. They don't have that personal relationship with Christ. Yeah. And so, where was I going? Okay, yes, the mobile intake. And that gives us a little bit of idea, and I've seen none marked on their what religion are you? Atheist. We've seen Wiccan. We've seen several different things. But that gives us an idea of how we're going to start in after we've made that comment that we're holistic, of where we're going to go from that comment. Other questions that you can ask, and I encourage open-ended questions, not yes or no or a one-word answer, encouraging those open-ended questions. You know, describe what your religious ideas are. So if she claims maybe that she doesn't, maybe she's atheist or something other than Christianity, you can ask them, you know, explain to me, what are your religious ideas? And asking her questions. And be honest. If it's something that you're not familiar with, you can be honest and say, you know, I'm not familiar with that. Will you explain what your beliefs are? And then tell me about your belief system, your upbringing, or any church background. That's another lead-in question. And I love this one. So after you've done some assessment and you're ready to ask if they would like to hear the gospel, you can say, has anyone ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can have a personal relationship with God and know for sure that you'll go to heaven someday? And then this one, I actually come across this as I was preparing for this presentation, and I used it for the first time last week, and I loved it. It was really perfect for that situation, for that particular patient. It says, can I ask you a more personal question? Do you believe in heaven? And how do you hope to get there? Can I share a little bit about what the Bible says about going to heaven and having a relationship with God? So this patient that I had, she had marked Christian on her intake form. During the assessment, her family was Christian, but she did not practice it at all. She was into yoga and spiritualism and that. So when I asked her, can I ask you a more personal question? She said yes. I said, do you believe in heaven? Yes. And I said, how is it that you believe you get there? And she said, well, when your soul dies and you do good things, you go to heaven. And that was a beautiful lead-in for me to just go right on into the gospel. Would you like to hear what the Bible says about how we get to heaven? And so these are just some examples. You guys, get comfortable with something that you feel like you can use. I will say, once you get into your groove, you'll know which ones are God will bring to remembrance, like he did with me last week. I had never used that last one until last week, and I just love the way it flowed. And asking questions is very important on assessing where they are in their faith. And again, as I was preparing for this, I had come across this meme on Facebook. It says, many turn from Jesus because of a bad experience with religious people, but know this, Jesus also had a bad experience with religious people. He was killed by them. It's not religion that will save you, it is only Jesus. Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. And I love that. And so, have you guys had, during the spiritual conversation, women tell you that they don't want to have anything to do with church or God because of X, Y, Z? Mm-hmm. We have all had that. It is very common. And so, in those circumstances, being very sensitive to her experience. Some of these women have been abused from somebody that's active in the church or a pastor, or I've heard horrible stories. And so just loving on her. And I tell them, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm so sorry that that happened. And getting back to the basics, it's not church that saves us. We're all still flawed, you know. We're not perfect. There was only one that was perfect. And just explaining that it's through that personal relationship with Jesus, and that's the thing that matters the most. And oftentimes, they receive that. They receive that well. But again, it's just our heart and our compassion for her that she can feel that. Objective 4, assess their personal relationship with Christ if they state that they are a Christian. So just because they've marked Christianity on their form or they say that they're a Christian, we really should not assume that means that they do have a personal relationship with Jesus. Majority of the time, I have seen they don't. They don't have that personal relationship with Christ. And so, what can we do? What kind of questions can we ask to really find out where she is? You can ask, what church do you attend? Tell me what you believe about Jesus. Have you ever been saved or baptized? So that's the questions on Ekairos that we've taken off the mobile intake, but we can ask those in person on a one-on-one conversation. And if she says she has, then ask, tell me about your experience. You know, a lot of these girls got saved at church camp, you know, but they've never really lived it out. They've just, you know, they maybe have made that commitment or made that decision, but they aren't, they don't have that closeness to the Lord. And so encouraging that growth. And then if they haven't been saved, so say they're saying they're Christian, but they really haven't, they haven't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you know, offering. Would you like to hear what the Bible says about how you can know for sure that you have a personal relationship with Christ? And if they do have a personal relationship with Jesus, but they're not active in church, just encouraging them to get plugged in. We have a list of local Bible teaching churches that we offer. So we have several, we're in rural, so we have several towns. We'll have churches from all, you know, several denominations from each one, and asking her, what is her background? What kind of church is she familiar with? Or, you know, Baptist, Assembly of God, whatever. We'll have a list of them to choose from for each town that they're in. And we'll talk about that and trying to get her plugged in somewhere that so she can continue to grow in the Lord. And if they claim to be a Christian but they're living in active sin, encouraging them to dig deep into God's Word. I see this a lot and it's heartbreaking. Women that are promiscuous or have addiction or homosexuality, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, we're all flawed, we're all sinners. And so in that circumstance, I just try to encourage them, you know, that God loves them and he has a plan and a purpose for their life, and encouraging them to really dig deep into God's Word. If they don't have a Bible, most of them do, that say they're Christian, but if they don't, giving them a Bible and encouraging them to really study it and get into God's Word. Mm-hmm. Letting that Holy Spirit do the convicting instead of us. So, I mean, we're going to lose them. If we start preaching to them about their lifestyle, obviously we do education on sexual risk avoidance and making good decisions and choices. And I'm not talking about that, but I am talking about just redirecting them to Christ for that, Holy Spirit. The fifth objective, what tools are available to assist you when presenting the gospel? You have a resource page in front of you, and if you don't, let me know. We'll get you one. There are some free online trainings that are available. Bright Course, we use Bright Course. Does anybody else here use Bright Cup? Mm-hmm. Yes, so a lot of you guys have Bright Course. There's a free training for you guys on that, and they just put it out last month or the month before last. Unlocking the Gospel. And it's really good. And so I just encourage you, all of you guys that have Bright Course, watch it. That's more intended for the pregnancy resource centers, but it's really, really, really good training. And the more training you get, the more you hear and the more you receive, the more confident and the more comfortable you're going to be when presenting the gospel. They also have videos that actually for the clients. So if you have it set up that you could share that with your patients at some point, you could do that. We have not done that yet. I don't know if we will at some point. Another website, Peace with God video presentation of the gospel. I love this. This is a 4-step video series. And the link is right there. I don't use this during the visit, but it is a really good video series to watch. It takes about 10 minutes total from start to finish. And you may pick up on some phrases or some sentences that you would like to use or incorporate into your presentation. And then the gospel tracts, you all have the little red Steps to Peace with God in front of you. This is through the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And when I started doing research on gospel tracts, because you all know there's hundreds to choose from, I read so many. And this is the one I've landed on because it's simple, it hits all of the main points, and it talks about repentance. A lot of the gospel tracts that I was coming across didn't even mention repentance. And I had a problem with that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I've chosen this. There's several different formatting. They all has the same information inside. There's a blue one with the mountains. It kind of looks dated to me. There's another one with women on a bench. They're both in wearing masks. But I liked this one. So this is the one that we've bought. You can get a 25-pack, I think, for about $5. So, and then, anyway, these are the ones that I like to use. So you have the blue ones that you can print off. The blue ones are what I actually go through with the patient one-on-one. I'm going to talk about that one in just a minute. But if for some reason she's in a rush and she doesn't have time, or maybe she's declined the spiritual conversation but she's receptive to taking one of these, I give these because this has more scripture, more information that the little blue ones just don't have that. So I like these. Also, in the back, it has a place for them to sign and date it if they prayed, and there's a sample prayer. Evantel training and gospel tracts, that is a really good website, and I think I have it on yours. Yeah, that's actually the second one on your list. They have several video series trainings that are free online that you can take, and I encourage you guys to look through those. They even have a specific one for pregnancy resource centers called Save the Mother, Save the Child. It was excellent. I went through that last month, and it was really good. Let's see. Billy Graham also has some online training. You can go to their website, Sharing Hope in a Crisis. This is on your handout there at the top under free online trainings. That Sharing Hope in a Crisis, it was very good. Now, obviously, it has a lot more information than we could ever use during our clinic visits. But, again, the more training we get, the more empowered we'll be. Some apps. I love the YouVersion Bible app. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. So for your women that don't have a Bible of their own, and maybe you don't have the resources to buy Bibles to pass out and hand to your patients, I encourage them to download that app. It's great. It's great for anybody. It has several, many, many, many translations. And it has if they don't like to read, it will read it to them if they hit play. I love it. It's great. And then they also have studies, all kinds of Bible studies. So if they're struggling with something and they need peace or wisdom, or if they're a new believer, there's Bible studies in there for that. And God Tools app. This is another really good app that you can get for your phone or your iPad. Those that are medical, do you use the iPad during the visit at all? No, we don't either. You do? Okay. So you could actually get this, download it to the iPad. And it has the gospel presentation, but it's on digital form. And it has four different methods to go through. But it's really simple and easy, and you can go through that with your patients during the visit. Books, the Bible. The Bible is one of our greatest resources that we could ever have. Even for your non-believer, getting the word in their hands and encouraging them to read it. So I have Hebrews 4:12 there. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And I have seen the scripture come to life during the visit. I'm going to share that a little bit later today. I love it. Anyway, Case for Christ book. So I brought an example. Have you guys ever seen the Case for Christ? Or okay, read the book? So This is a really good resource that we have, and I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, but answer booklet, it's about, I think it's 99 cents. We get it from thechristianbook.com. And I do use these a lot. And then what's in bold down at the bottom? Our greatest resource that we have is the Holy Spirit. And I hesitated to put this in my presentation, but I felt like it is worth mentioning. There are times that it may be appropriate to briefly share a little bit of our testimony with our patient. And you all have a little worksheet there in your stack of papers, sharing ideas for sharing your testimony. And I preface this by saying, it's not, I very rarely do this, but there have been occasions when maybe there is something that I see in her that reminded me of my old self, or something that the Lord has continued to bring to my thoughts during this, during the visit or the gospel presentation. And if the Lord leads me to, there are times when I have briefly shared a little bit of my testimony with her. And so this is just a tool guide to help you guys do that. Briefly, so two sentences, just two sentences or so of what were you like before you received Jesus as your Savior? What were your struggles? What were your heartaches? Did you feel fulfilled? Did you feel fulfilled? And then a few sentences of, you know, how did you hear about Jesus and how did you respond? And then what has your life been like since then? And sharing our testimony with our patients does not replace giving the gospel presentation. I just want to make sure that y'all understand that's not a replacement of it. But it is a good lead-in to, in certain circumstances. It's very rare, but there are occasions when I feel led to share a little bit of my testimony with them. So just being sensitive to that. And just some basic tips on sharing the gospel. Again, I've already said this, but people are lost, they're hurting, and they're broken. And we have a message of hope. And just stressing God's love to them throughout. You know, even if they don't really receive the gospel presentation, letting them know that God loves them and He has a plan and a purpose for their life. Keeping it simple. My former pastor, Wayne Phillips, used to say, make it simple, keep it plain. You call it miskip it. Make it simple, keep it plain. And the gospel presentation was meant to be simple, so simple that even a child can understand. We don't need to complicate it. We need to keep it simple. We don't have a lot of time for this conversation, do we? No. Maybe 5 minutes or 10. Sometimes I've had 10, but anyway. Keeping it simple. And avoid using Christianese. So if for our women that have no church background, using those words like saved or born again, you know, and the list goes on. Just really avoiding that terminology, just keeping it plain into English. Try to put yourself in a position of somebody that doesn't have any church background. Would they understand what you're saying? Because we are just the messengers, and letting that Holy Spirit do the work. Presenting a basic plan of salvation. So you guys have your little blue gospel tracts here. You fold them up, fold it in half, and then fold it into the three. And so this is after she has said she would like to hear more about how to have that personal relationship with God. This is what we use. I will hand her one, and I have one, and we go through it together. And so just letting her know that, first off, that God loves her very much, and He has a plan and a purpose for her life. And then I read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And John 10:10, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And we will talk about it. I don't just read this to her. We have a discussion about it. And I explain and make sure that she's comprehending what that scripture says to her. And then going into the abundant life, leading into the second step, you know, why do you think that people aren't living an abundant life? What do you think is keeping us from having that life that God intended for us to have? Then that leads into that sin conversation of sin separates us from God, that none of us were born perfect. We're all sinners, and sin separates us from God. Just basic, just giving them the basics, you know. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And we'll talk about that. And often people will try to bridge that gap by doing good things or, you know, works, church, religion. And so we'll talk about some of the things that people do. You know, what do you believe it takes to get to heaven was one of the questions that we can ask. And so many times I hear them say, you know, if you're a good person, you know. So this is really good for them to see that there is only one way. And no bridge reaches God except one that goes on into God's bridge is the cross. John 14:6 says, "Jesus answered, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" And so I'll talk about the cross and that Jesus died for our sins. You know, he was perfect, and he paid the price of it for us so that we didn't have to. And just emphasizing there that Jesus is the only way. And then step 4, our response. John 1:12 says, "Yet to who all did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God." And we'll talk about that, being children of God, children of the King. And then Romans 10:9, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And I had a patient last week when we were going through this, and she repeated that. She said, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that you will be saved." And she said, wow. Mm-hmm. It was just beautiful. You know, you could tell that she was really taking it in. And then, you know, letting them know that God loves them. He died on the cross for our sins. But did he stay dead? I will ask them that, especially if they say they have Christian background, you know, did he stay dead? And some don't know the answer to that. And some say, no, he resurrected in 3 days. And I will often say, I won't use that word. That's usually the word that they'll use if they have church background. But I will say he came back to life. Mm-hmm. They may not know what resurrection means. So he came back to life. And so then on the back, if they would like to receive Jesus after going through all of that, I go through these steps. You know, admit your need. Are you a sinner? And then we'll say yes. Are you willing to turn away from your sins? They call that repentance. And I appreciate their honesty. There's been women that haven't, they're not ready for this yet. They are not ready to give up the lifestyle that they are living in. And I really appreciate their honesty. So in those circumstances, I will give them the red gospel tract, and I will show them in the back there's a prayer. So if at any time they are ready for that relationship, they can do it on their own. They don't need me to pray with them. They can do that on their own. I'm sorry, I never clicked through my slide here. Oops. Okay, you guys have this, so it's the same information that's on your handout. And then the third, do you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and that he came back to life? And if we've gone through that, they understand, they're ready to receive Jesus, then I will offer to pray with them. There's 3 different ways I usually do that. There's a sample prayer in your gospel track. I would tell them they can read that prayer themselves if they would like to, or I can pray for them and they can repeat it after me, or they can pray their own prayer. 95% of the time, they want me to pray and repeat it after me. And so that's typically what I do. And there are times when I will pray what's written on here, but most of the time I'm going to pray similar to this, but it will have more personal of her life situation. But the prayer for those listening, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask you for forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And the link to the free printable is right there. So, and I do, so when I do pray, I will pause after a few words and let her repeat. You don't want to give long sentences because it may be hard for them to remember everything that you said. And I tell them, it's not a magical prayer. God knows their heart, you know. And that's what's so beautiful. And so we talk about that. And then objective six. I'm going to go back for a little bit. So after you've gone through the gospel presentation with your patient, there may be times when she's very emotional. She's bawling and so appreciative that we've taken the time to share Christ with her. And there's other times you go through it and there's no emotion. It was just like something they did, you know. And we don't know. Only God knows. And that's what's important is God knows. God knows their heart. I had a patient come in. She had received Jesus over a year ago, and she came back in for a repeat. She was pregnant again. So I guess it was 2 years ago because it was about a year ago that she came back to us. And she was so excited. She was pregnant, and she said, "Thank you so much for sharing Jesus with me that day. It has changed my life." So you just don't know what God's going to do with that. We just have to be obedient and share and let the Holy Spirit do the work. And so how do we respond if they decline that spiritual conversation? I almost always respond, "That's okay. If you ever have any questions or you want to know more, feel free to give us a call. We'd be happy to talk to you about it." Never pressure anyone. When we start pressuring, it turns them off, and we're not going to be effective at all for anything that we have to offer on our services. You've got to allow that Holy Spirit to do the work. And the Case for Christ book, this is an answer booklet. It's not the full book. So if they've declined, I will say something like, "I have a resource that you might be interested in." This is a book written by Lee Strobel. He was an atheist, but he was also an investigative journalist. And he was on a pursuit to prove that Jesus wasn't the Son of God, and he didn't die on the cross, and that he didn't come back to life. And in his investigation, he never looked through scripture or Bible references or Bible scholars. Everything he looked at was either historical documents, historians, and things outside of scripture and the church. And during his investigation, he was convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, and he did die on the cross, and he came back to life, and has since converted to Christianity. This little booklet just has some question and answers of some of the things that he found. Would you like to take this with you? 99% of the time, they will take this. So they may not be open to having a conversation, but they will take this. So we get this in their hands. And it also has the gospel in here, too. So that's great. There have been, I say 99% of the time, there have been maybe one or two times when they said, "No, I'm good, thanks." And we move on. Like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then move right along in your visit. We do offer to pray with them, even if they have declined that spiritual, maybe they've declined the gospel presentation. We can still offer to pray with them. A lot of the girls will still receive prayer. Offering them a Bible. "Do you have a Bible? Would you like to take one?" I have had... So here's my client's story. I love this story. I had a patient, this was 2018, I believe, because it was shortly right before we changed over to doing it this way. And she was pregnant, she was abortion determined, and totally resistant to the gospel presentation. She had some really bad things in her life that had happened. She, you know, she, if there was really a God, then why did he allow these things to happen? And that first visit with her was tough. She chose to abort that baby. And I tell you, I was tore up with that visit. Fast forward 3 months. She comes back to us for a pregnancy, not pregnancy test, for STD testing. And during that visit, I offered her a Bible, and I challenged her, just open it up and read it. You know, after telling her that God loves you so much, and he's pursuing you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Offering her a Bible, encouraging her to read it, she accepted it, okay? So in a week, we follow up. She comes in for her results. And after we've done the entire visit, met all the needs, I follow up with, I'm curious, did you get a chance to read anything in the Bible? Did you get a chance to read it? She gets choked up. I can see the tears welling up in her eyes. And she says to me, which it was one of these, by the way, if you have Gideons in your area, they may be willing to donate some New Testaments to you and the Psalms and Proverbs. Anyway, she told me, she said, I opened it up to page 585. And it really spoke to me. She could barely speak. I'm sorry I'm emotional, but this is a beautiful story of what God can do. And because God had used his scripture to pierce her heart, she was open to the gospel. She received Jesus as her Savior that day. Fast forward another 3 months. She's pregnant again. But this time, she is elated. She is so excited, and she can't wait to have this baby. She carried to term, and I actually got to physically hold her little baby 9 months later. And that's what God can do. That's not what we can do, but it's what the Holy Spirit can do through us and his word, getting the word into their hands. So even if they're resistant to a gospel presentation, or even a spiritual conversation, they may accept the word of God, and God can still use that. You can also offer them to take a gospel track. And praying for them. You know, I've talked about that so much, but the power of prayer, and it really does make a difference. So if we've had a spiritual conversation, so maybe we've gone through the full plan of salvation with them, and they declined to receive Jesus that day. So what do we do with that? Okay, you just let them know that if they have any questions, again, you're there to answer any questions in the future. Sending them with that, the red Steps to Peace with God gospel track. It has more scriptures in there, more information. So, I have a client story on this one, too. Do you remember the sisters, the story of the sisters, right, mm-hmm. with the neighbor? Okay, so the second sister that came in, I went through the gospel presentation with her, but when it came time to pray, she said, I'm very shy and bashful. I'm not comfortable with this at all. And I said, that's okay. That's okay. And I sent her with the red gospel track. I opened it up to the back, where it has the sample prayer, and I showed her. I said, when you're ready, you can pray this on your own. You don't need me. You can do this whenever you're ready. And that was it. She left. She came back a week later. I say she left. She came back a week later. Let me back up. When she left, she was in our parking lot for 30 minutes in her car. And I'm like, is she okay? Do I need to go check on her? What's going on? And then I just kind of had this feeling, she's fine. She's good. When she came back a week later, when we got her back in the consultation room, one of the first things she said to me was, When I left last week, I prayed that prayer in my car, and she said, and I can already see God working. Like she could see that God was already working in her life, and she her comment was, again, I want to be baptized in my neighbor's church, you know. So it's just a beautiful thing. You never know how God's going to work in you, even though we may not see it. He is still working, and he is still powerful and can do mighty things. Again, offering them a Bible, encouraging them to read it. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord, you will find him. If you seek him with all of your heart and all of your soul. And I tell them that when I give them a Bible. The Bible tells us if we seek him with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our spirit, we'll find him. And so encouraging them with that. And just continuing to show that love and that mercy and grace. And how to equip the new believer with the next steps. What do we do after they've prayed the prayer of salvation? How? Because we have a very limited time with these girls. Very limited in medical. We don't have months to disciple them. And so what do we do? Number one, encouraging them to read. This is the basics. And this is also in the back of the little red gospel tract. So even if they've prayed to receive Jesus, I will also give them one of these because it will walk them through what's their next step. So encouraging them to read the Bible daily so that they can get to know Jesus better. Starting with one of the four gospels, usually I say John, the book of John. Now, don't assume your girls know how to use a Bible.
That's right.
Okay, y'all have a testimony. This is my story. This is my testimony. I was saved at the age of 22. I had no church background other than going to VBS a couple of times as a kid. So I had no idea. And when I received Jesus as my Savior, the gentleman that led me to the Lord said, you want to start reading in the book of John? Guess what? Guess what I said? I said, where do I find the book of John? Do I go to the library? Like, yeah. I didn't know that was in the Bible. I had no idea. And the look on his face. So he was my great uncle, and my grandmother was a Christian woman and sang in the church choir. My parents were raised in church, and here's their daughter who has no exposure. It broke his heart. So we can't assume that they know anything. So opening it up to the front, showing them the Old Testament and the New Testament, how to look up a book and a verse, and just take just a minute to show them that if they don't know, and bookmark it. You have these. You should have gotten. If you don't, there's a few left up here. You can get you one. And bookmark it. I put a bookmark in it. And if they've prayed that prayer on the back, there's their spiritual birth certificate.
I love it.
That way they know that they know. And I tell them, sometimes the enemy can attack us and make us think, put doubts in our mind. You didn't really do that. You didn't mean that prayer, you know. And just letting them know that their life, the new life has started. This is their birth certificate of their spiritual life. They're washed clean. They get a clean slate, do-over, you know. And so just sharing that with them, encouraging them to talk to God every day in prayer. This is something that a lot of the girls are really uncomfortable. I don't know how to talk to God. What do I say? Just talk to him, just like you and I are talking. You know, it doesn't have to be fancy. Just talk to him like you and I are talking. Encouraging them to attend church. This is a big one. We really want to try to plug them in somewhere. So having that church list available at the local Bible teaching churches in your area, going through that list with them of their town and maybe which denomination that they would be more comfortable in or have a background with, and then encouraging them to tell others what God has done for them. And I think about that sister, you know, anyway. And then we buy these. These are $1.50 a piece. Here's my book. The resources on your book. How to Grow as a Christ Follower. And this talks about all of these things and why it's important. And so I love this resource. It really is. It's good. This is through Evantel as well. And again, they're about $1.50 a piece. This is my contact information. So if you guys have questions or need any other resources, feel free to contact me. Does anybody have any questions? Oh, she says I have 5 minutes, so. Yes.
Do you know what's on page 585?
I do. I read it and
is
I was
it some
like,
things
yes.
Some of us would you share that with us? Like what might have
caught
your attention there?
I don't know. I can't remember now, but at the time I remember that was perfect for her. So
I'm a Gideon. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yes.
So in that little Bible, there's helps in the front.
Yeah, and I show them that too.
Yeah,
thank you for saying that.
All kinds of helps, which is very beneficial.
It is.
Because if they're in pain or depression,
right.
It gives them a scripture on where to go to.
Right.
And as a Gideon, we're not supposed to give our Bibles to anybody to give away.
Okay.
Because we have, and what, they could end up in the trash. If we give a case of Bibles to someone, they could say, oh, I'll hand them out, but we don't know if they're handing them out.
Yeah.
So that's why we tend to only.
We have a Gideon that is part of our.
Yeah, so I do hand out those Bibles to everybody that comes in.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, and then it is just a Psalm and New Testament.
Right.
And in the back, it has a place, it does tell you the step by step to be saved and a place for them to sign their name.
Yes. Yes. So these are wonderful. Yes.
I just had a quick question and then. We've had several Muslims.
Yes.
I'm curious how you came with that. But also, how long are your sessions with your clients? Because when you're speaking during their physical assessment and then trying to do all of that, what is your time slots?
So, if it's just a pregnancy test or STD testing, possibly an ultrasound, it's about an hour. If I'm going over options, it could be up to an hour and 15 minutes. If they allow for the full, if I do a full spiritual conversation, there have been times I've gone about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. So, honestly, I mean, if you can do the spiritual in 5 to 10 minutes. So, and the follow through of what to do, like that's from start to finish, you know. So, yes.
I was going to say, I know sometimes. We do a lot of this as well, too, but a lot of times if we know we're building up that relationship and say that you can't say anything, you're 4 weeks or 5 weeks, you can't do the sauna.
Right.
Or you're doing the sauna. Because we're building on that relationship, so when we know we're going to have them back, sometimes we will share the gospel with them.
Yeah.
And they kind of trust us and they come back as well. So.
Yeah.
And then I say, I had clients, we had people that want to do something for a son, and one time they were doing diapers and formula, and I said, we have tons of that. And I said, you know, I do a bunch of work here in the United States. Can you donate some Bibles? And
yeah.
She donated like 10 Bibles. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, and I've been able to do exactly what you said, would you like a Bible? And it's just beautiful when you allow them to spirit.
Yes. And you can buy in bulk. So if you have somebody that wants to make a donation, you can buy these in bulk for maybe a couple dollars a Bible. You can get a woman's Bible and get that in their hands. We oftentimes will use these so they have the full Bible. Yes.
And I think, too, ending your conversation, no matter how short or long it is, telling them, and I am praying.
Yes.
But don't say that unless you're not going to get it.
Right.
I work in labor and delivery. And the first thing she said to me when she saw me was, oh, you're the nurse at the pregnancy center. And you told me you were praying for me, and I had clung to it.
Aww.
I was like, I didn't realize the power of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The power of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, I want to pray over you guys, if that's okay. Father God, I just come before you, and I thank you for each and every one that's here, representing centers all across the state and the surrounding areas, Lord. I pray right now that you would just fill us all with the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Go before us and prepare the way. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray that you would open up the clients, open their ears and their eyes and their minds and their spirits. Mm-hmm. To hear and receive you as Lord and Savior, and to know the truth of salvation, and to see the truth of the life that's within them, and I pray they would choose life, Lord. Jesus. Lord, it's not one life, it's two. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you would empower us to share you with others, not just in the pregnancy center, but as we go about our day and go about our walk and go about our lives, that we would be a witness and be bold and courageous to share you whenever you lead us. Speak through us, give us the words, give us the knowledge and the wisdom and the guidance. Lord, it's not through us, but it is only through your word and your power and your glory. Father, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, guys.